Hello and welcome back to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is year 12 for this show, started in a studio barn on the Naramata Bench, now in Nanoose Bay, Vancouver Island. I'll tell you about this show in just a moment, but coming up in future weeks, we'll be talking to Moon Cursor. We'll be having a discussion with Anne Sperling about her fabulous new releases at Sperling Vineyards. We're going to spend a week in Tofino, finishing off with the Tofino Food and Wine Festival. We're going to attend the BC Shellfish Festival in Courtney Comox. We're going to Seattle, and we're going to party down with Sir Charles Smith, the Dark Prince of Walla Walla, at his fabulous winery at the end of the runway at Boeing Field. The building is called Jet City, and he's loaded the room with rosé makers. This show is all about Top Drop Victoria. Now, Top Drop was the brainchild of Curtis Colt and his pal Jeff. And they're now in year 6, and they're very successful. People love this wine festival, small that it is, because they gather together great small wineries from around the world who adhere to the principle of leave the wine alone, let it reflect the terroir it's grown in, and don't mess with it. Just let it be the wine that it wants to be. And they needed a host in Victoria, and the host was Vessel Wine Store. We're going to start this show with a conversation with Ross Borland and Mitch Renault from Vessel Wine. And we're going to be speaking with Larry Jarellis from Stags Hollow, Dan Wright from Unsworth, Michael Schindler from A Sunday in August, Tyler Knight from Lightning Rock, Kelsey Rufiange from Echo Bay, Grant Biggs from Kitsch. Also a very funny conversation with Angus Thompson from Erler in New Zealand. And from Little Farm in the Similkameen, the one and only master of wine, Reese Pender. Some of these wines you may have never heard of, and they've earned that right to be invited to showcase. So we're heading for Victoria. It's year one for Top Drop in Victoria. I hope there'll be 10, 15, 20, 100 more to come. And my thanks to Curtis Colt. The reason why Curtis is not part of this show this week about his own event, because of the weather. They got stuck. They, the planners, and some winemakers, got stuck on the docks in Vancouver because of the weather conditions on the day that we got together. It was nasty, and you just knew that nothing was going to be flying. A thumbs up to Curtis, Jeff, and everybody who put this event together. Congratulations. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. They're all prepared for Father's Day, and the new menu and the new pizza oven are ready to go. And just a reminder of the Duncan Farmers Market every Saturday, 9 to 2, and Unsworth is there, offering a complimentary selection of their wines for sampling. They also have bottles available for purchase. Stop by, say hello. Find the details at unsworthvineyards.com.
We're in Victoria. We're at One Cooperage Place, which is a marina. Victoria always sells itself as the sunshine capital of the West Coast, the least rain of all of British Columbia. Not today, my friends. And some of the people attending this sixth annual Top Drop, the first in Victoria, are on a dock somewhere in Vancouver. But Ross Borland, who's the managing partner at Vessel, is kindly playing the role of host today until some of those people either show up or phone in their regrets. How long have you been going to Top Drop Vancouver?
Since it started back...
6 years ago.
Yeah, 5 or 6 years ago. I have always enjoyed that festival. It's really kind of what, the type of wine we like to drink and the producers we like to...
You know, we see festivals all the time, right? Mm-hmm. All the time. Yeah. What makes it stand out is the commitment they made to... The winemakers have made the commitment to us. Like, they wanted to celebrate the growers and the farmers and the people making the wines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then also bringing the industry together as well and really focusing on, introducing the producers with some quality buyers. And it's been quite a good formula.
And talking to Curtis about expanding to Calgary. Mm-hmm. And I asked him the same question I'm going to ask you. What kind of wine market was Calgary? Was it ready for this kind of experience? So the same question goes to you. What kind of wine town is Victoria? Something you know well.
Yeah.
And how will they take to this?
Victoria is a wine town, for sure. The industry really supports wine here. And interesting little story, I was going into a seminar in Vancouver, Anthony Gismondi, and he made a comment to me. He said, I see more people here from Victoria than I do from Vancouver. So they're very supportive.
They drink local?
Local's very popular, but people are really interested in international wines here as well, and really getting more and more into the organic, biodynamic wines as well.
And it's a great fit for Vessel.
Exactly. It's one thing we focus on. I think at last count, we were at over 300 organic biodynamic wines. So, it's a great fit for us.
Is there one pour that we should not miss today that's caught your eye?
I'm a bubbly person, so I would definitely say Le Large Peugeot for me is one I'm definitely going to check out.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Ross Borland, the managing partner at Vessel on 4th Street in Victoria.
This is Tasting Room Radio. Here's your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Mitch Renault is the assistant manager at Vessel here in Victoria. And where are we exactly?
We're at the Victoria International Marina.
International, like the Americans come here?
Yeah, it's been built for super yachts and large ship mooring.
For the moneyed?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. How did we get in here? Did we?
We decided to partner and rent the space. We thought it was a really prime location to show off
Victoria. It's a great
spot, man. Yeah, it's a fantastic spot.
It's all glass.
It's all glass, really beautiful kind of ocean shore floor. It's really quite beautiful. The view's second to none of the Inner Harbor.
Are we the first wine event here?
As far as I know, we are the first wine event here.
Okay, this is the first time that Top Drop has been to Victoria. What did you want to do? What bases did you want to touch in terms of making sure that everybody was comfortable and welcome?
With Top Drop having a six-year history in Vancouver and a couple of years in Calgary, we're really excited to bring a wine event that really features principals from the wineries.
Yeah.
And really so the Victoria public has the opportunity to really face-to-face get to talk with producers and people that are really at the heart of these wineries.
And not just any wineries, but wineries that we all would seek out, we would go looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about having those wineries that you would never feel have access to, so you really get a better sense of people like Craggy Range and Fontevin and all these really top producers that you see around, and really to be able to speak to someone that's at the heart of the organization.
At the top of my list is Michael Schindler from A Sunday in August, which is, first of all, just the title alone got my attention. What's he doing up there?
Mike's been buying grapes for a couple of years now. I think this is his third vintage, if I remember correctly. And he's really making an exciting range of kind of negociant model wines in BC. I think another producer that's really exciting, and the first time we're really seeing them in Victoria, is Lightning Rock,
yeah.
Which is Jordan and his partner, who were formerly at Okanagan Crush Pad, and have now ventured out on their own. So being able to bring a new producer, and it's really their first publicly available vintage, is really exciting to us.
I'm happy to see at least one island winery here.
Yeah, we're really happy to have Unsworth. It's nice to have a kind of a roughly 60-40 split of BC and international producers, so... Yeah. It's a really nice showcase of where the market's at.
Anybody that you hadn't tasted before?
There's quite a few that I've never tasted before. We're really excited to have Musella Wines, a Valpolicella producer, and a few others.
Fontevin,
again, someone that's not as well known in Victoria, and an exciting opportunity to taste some of their higher-end wines. They have their Gigondas here, along with some others. Really beautiful lineup in the room.
Do you have a sense of who's coming, who your clientele is going to be today?
I think a lot of the folks that we see at Vessel are going to be here. We've been really lucky to develop relationships with a lot of the really keenly wine-engaged consumers in Victoria, so we're really excited to see them. And we're also really excited to see some people from further afield. Jamie Good will be here. There's a well-known wine writer internationally. So to be able to really show the Victoria public what's out there in the world.
Mitch Renault, the assistant manager at Vessel, 1609 4th Street in Victoria. All right, let's work the room. Here's the deal. I have no idea who's going to walk in, but because of the weather, some of those planes, helicopters aren't flying today because it's really low cloud and nasty. So we'll take it one at a time.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio.
His name is Reese Pander, and he is the wine grower and one of the principals at Little Farm in the Similkameen. Downtown Cawston, frankly.
Downtown Cawston.
As opposed to Karamias. Somebody's, Michael's saying he's from getting wine from Karamias, getting his grape from Karamias. I think he's getting it from downtown Cawston.
Yeah, I mean, Cawston's like the posh neighborhood of Karamias.
You've been busy.
It's a busy month always, me.
Tell me about the tasting that happened, the championships just finished.
Yeah, we just ran the first event we called Tasting Games. So it was basically a fun blind tasting event where we had some celebrities on the stage and people in the audience blind tasting five wines, competing against each other. Some banter, some back and forth.
I tried to follow on the internet web machine, but the audio was kind of missing.
Oh, was it?
Well, it was way back. I actually wrote and said, could you move the camera up? And they moved the camera up. I wanted to hear what you were saying.
Yeah, no, it was pretty fun. There was some good good trash talk, some, you know, a little bit of education as well in there, but just fun. We wanted to make an event that was actually something a bit different than a standard tasting, more, you know, a little bit more engaged and fun for the audience.
And your winner was?
The winner in the end was Matt Landry from Stable House Bistro in Vancouver.
Why, that would be the sommelier of the year.
Yeah, he's on a roll. Yeah, he's on a roll.
Anybody in the audience, they were filling out sheets as well, right?
Yeah, everyone in the audience was competing as well. And we always had, of each, there were three heats where we had one celebrity and one person from the audience won. All six winners came back for the finale and competed against each other. So.
And how did you do as MC?
Well, I was lucky I didn't have to blind taste. I could just, you know what the wines were and be the...
And be knowledgeable,
yeah,
and knowing.
Sound like I knew what I was talking about.
Exactly, so, that. Yeah. Okay, Rhys Bender, let's talk Little Farm.
Yeah.
Which started very... What was that first release? Was it a Riesling?
The first vintage was 2011, yeah. And we made just about like 50-odd cases of Riesling and Chardonnay. We had like one barrel of each. And yeah, that was... 2011, a few years ago now.
And what have we learned in those 7 years, 8 years?
We've learned to, I don't know, I think we've learned to really make wines that express the site from our vineyard site there. And we've learned to be more confident in winemaking and trusting your grapes and your good fruit and then just letting it kind of be what it wants to be. So we're doing less and less. Maybe we're just getting lazier, but we're doing less and less every year to the wine. Yeah.
His name is Rhys Bender, the wine grower and one of the principals at Little Farm in the Similkameen. Is there any guarantee that a master of wine can make wine?
No, there's no guarantee. But
I mean, you can know everything you want, you possibly know about wine, but you still have to make it.
Yeah, you still have to do it. And I think the fun thing for me going into it was, you know, I'd traveled around the world. I've been to so many wineries, talked to so many winemakers, read so many books for the MW study that I kind of had an idea of what to do. But then, like you say, you've still got to do it. But it's kind of fun to see, you know, those visions and then plant the grapes, pick them, make the wine and see if those visions come true. And yeah, it's been really interesting. And, you know, you learn so much from other places in the world and can take some of their techniques and
tuck that info away.
Yeah, exactly. Tuck it away. And, you know, yeah, like with our Riesling in particular, we always want to make a bone dry Riesling. And, you know, personally, we don't really like the sweeter style. So, but you have to balance the acidity. A lot of people use sugar to balance acidity in Riesling. So we had to learn how to build texture in the wine to balance the acidity. And so we do a lot of aging in old barrels, neutral barrels, on the lees, and a little bit of skin contact and things like that to build texture that really balances and gives weight to the dry wines. Yeah.
So you have a 2015 Riesling. There can't be much of that left.
No, the 2015s was sold out, but we... The warehouse in Vancouver just randomly found about 25 cases that we didn't know we had, so we now have it back again.
And the 2017?
Yeah, and then we're moving on to 2017s. We're pretty much through the 2016s now, so we're showcasing the 2017s today of the Pied de Couve Riesling and the Mulberry Tree Chardonnay and Pied de Couve Chardonnay as well.
Okay. Tell me about that Pied de Couve. The whole process is goofy.
Yeah, so Pied de Couve is a kind of a natural winemaking technique where you, about 2 weeks before harvest, you go out, pick some grapes in a bucket, foot tread them, and just leave them out in the vineyard.
Wait a minute. You tread on it with your foot, and then you leave the...
You leave the bucket sitting out in the vineyard, just where you picked it, under the vine you picked it.
What do you want to happen in that bucket?
So the what we're looking for is the yeast on the skin of the grape. Mm. You know, they react with the sugar in the wine and start a fermentation. So it just basically starts fermenting. And then when we pick the rest of the crop about 2 weeks later, that bucket's rolling and, you know, got fermenting on its own. And we just dump that bucket into the press with the rest of the thing. And it acts like the seed or the starter for the fermentation. So it's a natural wine, you know, wild fermentation technique. And we're hoping to get some of the yeast from the vineyard, their influence on the wine, too.
I just want to say that your Chard is fantastic.
Thank you.
I love the Chard. It's not like a Chard. It's not a big, bomby hoo-ha. It's a gorgeous, delicate Chard.
Yeah, we try and make the Chardonnay a little bit in the crisper, fresher, lighter style. It's still old barrel fermented, but only old barrels. And then we pick a bit earlier than most people. So we're not trying to get tropical fruit flavors. We're looking for more that stone fruit and then lemon and keeping that really good mineral acidity. And then we just like to, the old oak just adds a nuttiness and a complexity to it, as does the lees.
So why the Pied de Couve?
Pied de Couve is just a... I don't know. We thought we'd name the series that, just sort of after that
technique.
But why
that process, and why take what you're already making and make it different?
We just think it gives a bit more complexity if you have that Pied de Couve wild ferment, and you just get a bit more complex wine, we think.
The same people that like orange wine, you think would be attracted to this?
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, we did an orange wine in 2016, and then we're now on the 2017 vintage. It's a little bit unusual in that it's Riesling. So most people don't do Riesling orange wine, but I don't know why not. So it's been pretty successful for us. We just do 2 weeks skin contact and then about 7 months on the lees and bottle it unfined, unfiltered.
Does it want a cellar?
I don't know, actually. I think it could for a while. Yeah, okay. I think it could. It's got lots of structure. And then we have a really light, juicy Cabernet Franc, your favorite, I know. And we just do it in a really... again, sort of harvest a bit early, fresh, juicy, lots of floral, berry notes, and then no oak in this one. And then we bottle it unfined, unfiltered as well. So it's a little bit cloudy looking, but you can chill it down a tiny bit in the summer. It's amazing.
Is Rhys Bender, we literally could go fishing if we had our...
We could just go fishing
together,
right,
but
here,
we don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's to come yet, still?
What's to come? Well, the 2017 vintage, as I mentioned, we're just starting to release that now. So that's we're excited for that. And other than that, it's really, yeah, just the same. We're sticking with the same SKUs and wines. And, yeah, pretty happy with how things are going.
What's total production?
We're about 800 cases a year. Sometimes.
So you're still a garage yeast.
Yeah, we're still tiny. And we're not going to get any bigger than that for now.
Well,
so,
you don't have time.
No, we're busy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Congratulations on Little Farm. Just getting it off the ground. Dealing with everything else that you're doing and still making wine at the same time.
Thanks, Terry. Yeah, it's been a fun adventure. So, yeah, it's great to just, you know, do that whole process. Plant a vineyard from scratch, make the wine. Unfortunately, you have to sell it as well, but the other bits are fun. So.
Okay, last question. Anything you want to announce now publicly that I'm going to see in a press release like 3 or 4 weeks from now? You've sold out, you're doing something, anything?
Yeah, well, I guess the next exciting thing is the Rosé 2018 coming out.
Yes.
So it's being bottled literally as we speak and should be on the market in a few weeks. And we also actually just launched a wine club. And it's a kind of a fun wine club. We wanted to do something a bit different. So we have a 12-bottle wine club, so twice a year. But in every shipment, there'll be one library wine that's at least 5 years old. So you know, our Riesling and Chardonnay tends to age really well, so we want to kind of showcase that. So we've been holding back some wine every year, and so we're going to, you know, in that pack have one bottle of library, five-year-old or older wine in every pack.
The Similkameen is on the verge of exploding. Everybody wants in there now. Can the Valley handle it?
Yeah, the Similkameen is interesting. You know, the reason we moved there and bought our little farm was because of the great soil you get there, this calcium carbonate, you get this amazing minerality and elegance in the wines. And I think more and more people are starting to realize that. So there's vineyards going in everywhere right now. It's on fire, but there's actually still some pretty good land in the Similkameen that's not planted yet. So there's still room to grow quite a bit.
Rhys Bender, Little Farm in Kosten, Similkameen. Here is the last question. How do you like being included in Top Drop?
Top Drop's amazing because it's just, you know, it's just great producers from all over the world, and you have to get selected to be able to be here. So all the wineries here are kind of handpicked by a panel they've got to have a similar kind of mentality and focus on quality and, you know, sustainability and all those things. So it's just being with like-minded winemakers and things. There's great discussion amongst all of us, and you know, and it's great for the customers because they just come and there's this great hand-picked run of wineries.
Who's your favorite in the room?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I haven't done the rounds yet, but there's lots of wines I want to try, that's for sure. So yeah.
Okay, thanks, Rhys.
Okay, thanks, Terry.
Rhys Bender, one of the partners along with Alishan in Little Farm in Kosten, Similkameen.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. They're all prepared for Father's Day, and the new menu and the new pizza oven are ready to go. And just a reminder of the Duncan Farmers Market every Saturday, 9 to 2, and Unsworth is there, offering a complimentary selection of their wines for sampling. They also have bottles available for purchase. Stop by, say hello. Find the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch Wines. Just for the record, The Hatch Wines are Blacksmith Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy, Crown and Thieves, Gobsmacked, Talking Stories, The Merch, and The Hatch Wines. All of this, and maybe even all of the details, at thehatchwines.com. Erlar, Gladstone. You have to take them individually and separately and together. Erlar, Gladstone, Wairarapa, New Zealand, are pouring at Top Drop in Victoria. Angus Thompson is behind. I pulled them away from the table just long enough. Rich Massey's taken over. Who knows what's going to happen? Now, I made my notes here. Fifth generation farming family from Scotland.
Yep, that's correct.
Your great-grandfather was involved in the wine distillery business. Was it legal or illegal?
Oh, I would say probably a bit of both, really, to be honest. Both my great-grandfathers were whiskey distillers.
Yep.
They did whiskey for a company called McKinley's, and one of them then did sales for McKinley's whiskey back in the 30s and peddled his way when Prohibition came off in Canada. He was one of the first whiskey distilleries to jump on a boat and come over here and flog whiskey in Canada. So I suppose that was technically legal.
Good on you.
We do have the odd bottle, actually, of whiskey from going back a bit, and I'm not quite sure. That's probably bootlegged.
Tell me about this invite to Top Drop. Did you wonder kind of why they chose? Did they tell you why they chose?
It's a ballot, so you have to register your intent. It's interesting. There's not many events around the world that are chosen, A, by sommeliers, and B, looking for more organically driven styles of wine.
Yeah.
And so we, of course, said absolutely. If nothing else, I was desperate to come up to Vancouver and BC to see it. And, yeah, it was just we submitted for it. And then I got this very excited email from Rich, which you can just imagine, coming through going, we've made it, we've made it, you're coming. So, yeah, we're delighted to be here. It's a fantastic event. It's just lovely to be part of an event where the theme is about doing something that doesn't involve chemical farming.
Yeah.
And that, for me, is what's special. That's what we love. You know, we run our vineyard. It's certified organic, but we run it biodynamically. And for me, having been a conventional farmer in Scotland, to grow things organically is just a dream, really. And I love it. It's really what, for me, true sustainability is using no chemicals at all. We do use a little bit of sulfur because we export sort of 85% of our crop is exported around the world. But apart from that, it is just natural goodness in a glass.
Angus Thompson, Erlar, Gladstone, Wairarapa, New Zealand. So I know from my history that Erlar,
yep,
the name of the winery, is a Scottish word for cough, mate, or something like that. No, it's not, is it?
Yeah, you know, you're quite right. Most people don't say it to my face, though. No, Erlar is it's a property that I grew up on as a kid, and it quite simply in Gaelic means the earth.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's something that's quite important to us, the earth. It is, after all, the roots of biodynamics and organics. And you know, you hear the word terroir. Well, I mean, if you're going to spray the shit out of it with chemicals,
yeah,
well, good luck to you. You ain't tasting a terroir, are you?
No.
And that, for us, is why we strive to do it, so that the public get an absolutely genuine, true representation of what our property is all about.
Angus Thompson, Erlar, Gladstone, Wairarapa, New Zealand. What did you bring to pour from Erlar?
We have brought a stainless steel Sauvignon Blanc, so traditional sort of style of Sauvignon, but not traditional. We're more on the tropical spectrum rather than the greener grassy spectrum. We've also brought a barrel fermented Sauvignon that's had a little bit of Malo. We have also brought two Pinot Noirs. So we've bought our estate, which is a blend of seven clones, has a little bit of whole bunch in it, some nice new oak. And then we have our select parcels, which is a selection of four of those clones, select rows within those clones. And it's 65% whole bunch and 50% new oak. So it's a different sort of kind of beast.
Seven clones.
For us, I think having as many different clones as you can bring, it brings different characteristics, different layers, different textures, complexities. aromas, flavors into the wine.
Last question, what should we know about Gladstone?
It's the center of the universe.
Yeah.
Gladstone is a really interesting little spot. Gladstone is on the valley floor of the Wairarapa, but we're in a natural bowl which drops down to the river. So we tend to get very, very warm days, but very cool nights. Yeah. So it is common for us to be 30 degrees centigrade during the day and 2 or 3 or 4 degrees at night time.
Wow.
And that, I think, for me, is the essence and the spine of the Gladstone sub-region. We tend to get fruit ripeness, skin ripeness, we get sugar ripeness and acidity all in balance at picking. So there is no manipulation at all when it comes in the winery. And that for me, I think, is what is really special to the Gladstone sub-region.
Angus Thompson, thank you.
Absolute pleasure.
No pee in the Thompson, my friends. Fifth generation farming family. He should have been a distiller, should have been a fireman, could have been a fisherman, but he's not. He's a winemaker in Gladstone. Thank you.
Food, wine, and friends. It doesn't get any better. You're listening to Tasting Room Radio, a celebration of all three with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
We're at the first ever Top Drop Victoria. For Top Drop itself, it's the sixth annual. Calgary, I think it's year 3. And it's a gathering of like-minded winemakers and growers who do everything possible to let the wine speak for itself and stay out of the way and try not to intervene. I'm honored to talk to Kelsey Rufiange, who's the proprietor and winemaker at Echo Bay. We need to know exactly where you're living.
Just north of OK Falls. So we're on the banks of Skaha Lake.
It's an 18-acre parcel of land, unless it's more. But what really caught my eye was this wonderful story, was the fact that under the direction of longtime grower and troublemaker Richard Cleave, what did Richard advise you to plant there?
Well, we were fortunate enough to be introduced to Richard Cleave. Our family got into the wine business kind of as a happy accident. We wanted something to keep our family property sustainable. So none of us had any background in the wine industry and knew nothing about planting. So
whose idea was it to grow grapes?
My parents. My dad retired and sold his business and thought it would be a romantic idea to plant grapes. Yeah. And we started off with the idea to sell. And then once we planted, I came along and got the wine bug and decided to move to New Zealand.
Did you then all sit down and say, what are we going to grow? Did Richard Cleave and his like-minded tell you what the land would give you?
We put it into the hands of Richard Cleave, and he thought that a Bordeaux blend would suit our site. It's in a little pocket, a little warm pocket near OK Falls, so it has the heat units to ripen some of the more riskier, as you would say, varietals, Petit Verdot and Sangiovese. So,
how many acres?
5 acres.
What? No, come on.
Yeah.
What's total production?
It now will be 900 cases once it's full running. This first vintage was 300.
Kelsey Rufiange, the proprietor and the winemaker at Echo Bay and Elts in Okanagan Falls. So I'm seeing Cab Franc, Merlot, Cab Sav, smaller quantities of Malbec, Carmenere, Petit Verdot, Sangiovese.
Yeah, we want them all. It's more fun to experiment. The original idea was to have one blend. Spoke of the vineyard. We weren't doing the deciding. It was deciding the wine for us. So that was our whole idea. In the first vintage, the Cab Franc just really showed beautifully. So we decided to pick out a few barrels and have a varietal Cab Franc.
Just a single?
Single varietal. Yeah.
How good was it?
Delicious. I mean, Okanagan Cab Franc is one of my, one
too.
Of the exciting.
I'm a Franc head. I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rhys Pender's got a Cab Franc there that you can see through.
Yeah, it's so versatile. You can make, depending on the soil type it's growing on, you can make a light, fresh, easy drinking Cab Franc or a dark and broody one. So it's fun to be able to play with.
Kelsey Rufiange, who's the proprietor and winemaker at Echo Bay. So 5 acres.
5 acres. I think we have the opportunity to play in the Okanagan and try out different varietals. So.
Well, you're going to need more land.
We have more land across the road, which is very fortunate. So I have another 2 to 3 acres that we have available to plant. our favorite part is being involved in every aspect of it. So we're doing the growing, we're doing the winemaking. We wanna be a part of every single part of that process.
Okay, but here's the deal. You're now part of Top Drop.
Yeah, we feel super lucky.
But that's going to get everybody's attention. Now you're going to have to make even more.
I started a side label called Else. Wines, grapes from somewhere else.
Okay.
So this is like my creative outlet that I can play around with bought grapes. It's more of my way to experiment and find different ways.
What did you buy?
I bought Pinot Gris and Riesling for a pet nat, Muscat for a skin contact Muscat. So it's fun, and I don't have to make the same wine from year to year. I don't have to use those grapes, so it's going to be a little different every year.
Kelsey Rufiange, the proprietor and winemaker at Echo Bay in Okanagan Falls. How are we going to find these wines?
Through me, mostly for Else, because it's so small, but also Rich Massey's our agent in Vancouver, and he's done a wonderful job of...
He's such an annoying individual, but I like him a lot. It's Echo Bay, Okanagan Falls. Are you going to join that Okanagan Falls Winery Association? Do they even know you're there?
Yeah, at the moment, we had a lovely event with them at Liquidity. We're still pretty small, so we're thinking about it. But. Yeah,
but you know what? For a lot of us, small is very attractive.
Appreciate that.
Because it's hands-on.
Yeah. We put a lot of heart into it.
Okay, I wanted to ask you, what are you pouring today?
We're pouring our Synoptic, which is our vineyard designate wine. That's what you have in your glass. So this is the first crop that we produced, 2015. Really warm vintage, so all the fruit ripened beautifully. And
it's beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm not spitting that. What else was on the table? Was there?
We have our Cab Franc that we've pulled out of our library stock. Just to pour here, sold out of that. But and then I have two of my Else wines.
All right, what's not in my notes that I should know about Echo Bay?
What's really important to us is the philosophy on how we treat our vines and how we make wine. So it's been in our family for since the 60s, and all my cousins have grown up there, and my cousins' little children's, and it's very important to treat the land with care, having no chemical inputs or anything like that. So we're working on organic and biodynamic principles to allow for less sprays, less influence from the outside, and more about a holistic system that we're working with.
Do you think we should be able to tell the character of the winemaker by the wines?
I think so. I think it has a lot of the heart of the winemaker in it as well. So I should hope so.
Echo Bay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's Top Drop Victoria, year one. And she is Kelsey Rufiange, the proprietor and the winemaker at Echo Bay and Else in Okanagan Falls.
The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch Wines. Just for the record, The Hatch Wines are Black Swift Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy, Crown and Thieves, Gobsmacked, Talking Stories, The Merch, and The Hatch Wines. All of this, and maybe even all of the details, at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Their highly anticipated White Merlot 2018 has finally come to the tasting room and to their website this weekend. If you're in the Okanagan, stop by to snag some bottles. Make this the summer you try the Bench 1775 White Merlot. Bench1775.com.
KITSCH, Kitsch. Kitsch Wines pouring here at Top Drop 2019 in Victoria. It's a big deal for Victoria and for the island, simply because this is one of the great small gatherings of winemakers, growers, people all connected by one common instinct, and that is to not mess around with the wines, let the wines do the talking. His voice is failing him badly, but he's been 3 days on the road pouring for roomfuls of people. Grant Biggs, the winemaker at Kitsch in the Okanagan Valley. First of all, tell me what you're pouring at the table while I look at my notes.
First of all, thanks for having me on. We're pouring our portfolio today. It's gonna be fun.
Where have you been these last couple of days? Tell me about that.
I've been talking more these last couple of days than I have in my entire life. We're participating at Top Drop in Vancouver, a seminar, a dinner, trade, and consumer tastings, and now we're here in Victoria. And we are pouring our entire portfolio. Winery is located in East Kelowna. We're growing aromatic whites and Pinot Noir. So today we're pouring the entire portfolio, which consists of Block Party, which is a wine that comprises of all the grapes we grow on site.
Hold on, I got to ask you about that Block Party.
Yes.
Does Block Party qualify as a field blend?
That's exactly what it is. It's 60% Chardonnay, 25% Riesling, 15% Pinot Gris, and 5% Pinot Noir.
Now, I'm doing a special on field blends because I'm fascinated by them. I'm also fascinated by the fact that many wineries and winemakers don't put field blend on the label.
I think the Block Party to us speaks to it being a field blend, all of our blocks together, having a bit of a party.
Chardonnay, Riesling, Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir. It's fantastic. Kitsch Wines, Kelowna, Grant Biggs is the winemaker. What else are you pouring over there?
Two Chardonnays, more of a Chablis style and then more of a New World style, featuring two Rieslings as well, which are from separate blocks, the Esther's block and the Maria's block. Again, drier style in the Esther's and more of a Germanic or Mosel style in the Maria's block. Pinot Gris, stainless steel fermented, really bright and vibrant. That is a quintessential Okanagan style Pinot Gris, so like a lot of apples, pears, and honey on the nose and palate. And last but not least, the heartbreak grape, the one I'm fond of, Pinot Noir.
Grant Biggs, the winemaker at Kitsch Wines in the Okanagan Valley. Are you looking forward to and have you submitted your Pinot Noir for the Pinot Noir gathering in August in Kelowna?
Yeah, I didn't have to submit because I'm on the organizing board, but I did anyway, and I was very, very happy to see the blind tasting results from that and see where we stacked up, and I'm really looking forward to that Pinot Noir celebration in August this
it's
year.
It's astonishing how different one from the other can be.
I couldn't agree more. When you look at the Okanagan from a Soyuz up to Kamloops, really now with Pinot Noir growing in all of those regions, you're going to definitely get different styles of Pinot Noir resulting from those different microclimates.
But different clones?
And different clones, different winemakers.
Grant Biggs, who's the winemaker at Kitsch. So your Pinot, is it a single clone or did you mix your clones?
Pinot Noir is a blend of clones 115 and 828.
There you go.
So I use 35% whole cluster on that Pinot Noir. So just stemming 65%, leaving 35% on the cluster. To me, Pinot Noir is a delicate, soft, pretty grape. And so I treat it really delicately and softly. I'm from Port Alberni on Vancouver Island, so coming back to pour at Top Drop here in Victoria is dear to my heart. And when I approach making Pinot, it's an ode to Vancouver Island. I love salmon, being from the salmon capital of the world. The style of Pinot that I make is for me to personally pair with the West Coast salmon that we see here.
Okay, hold on a second. First of all, it's not the salmon capital of the world. Campbell River is the salmon capital of the world.
We put our sign up first.
You're clueless. Yuki is the salmon capital.
Hey, Port Alberni put their sign up first.
Thank you for this. And congratulations on your invite to this event.
And I'm very, very proud, as this is an invite-only event, to be included with the likes of the other BC producers here, the other international producers. I'd say, personally, this is the biggest compliment I've ever received in my life.
Congratulations. I'll see you in Kelowna.
Thanks, sir.
Showing the wear and tear of 3 days of wine tasting, wine pouring. Grant Biggs, the winemaker at Kitsch.
Food, wine, and friends. It doesn't get any better. You're listening to Tasting Room Radio, a celebration of all three.
Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio, in Victoria for Top Drop 1, or Top Drop Victoria, courtesy of our friends at Vessel. And we're talking to Tyler Knight, who is the co-founder and partner of Jordan Kubek at Lightning Rock Winery in Summerland. Great wines. Is Jordan with you?
No, she's not here today.
Oh, she's smart.
She's at home with the baby.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
You've been making wine in Summerland for 8 years.
Yep, that's right.
How did you get started? What and why?
Well, my lovely wife, Jordan, got me started in wine. So she's sort of the trained winemaker of the two of us. What was attractive to me about winemaking was, first the culture. So we actually are starting to get a really interesting sort of small community in the Okanagan, of younger sort of people trying to do more exciting things, I guess, trying to find like an actual identity.
New names, new faces.
Also the ability to travel. So we both, when we were working at Crush Pad in the wintertime, we'd go down south and do vintages. So, it allowed me to travel to South Africa, Chile, Australia, New Zealand, and learn from winemakers around the world.
As a team, we do everything we can to ensure quality from vine to bottle to table. Is that something that wasn't imposed on you? You just decided to do that?
It has to do, again, with sort of the lifestyle. Every part of the process is super important to us. Being in control of growing the grapes, I think, is probably more important.
Yeah.
We spend a lot more time in the vineyard than we do in the cellar, to be totally honest. We strive to not do anything in the winery. And to do that, you really have to have healthy fruit. To have a hand in that is super important to us.
You have, like, you can go and purchase fruit.
Yeah.
But it's not the same thing as having your fruit and growing it.
Yeah, again, and we're kind of control freaks that way. It's really like we need to be in control of the whole process.
But, of course, everybody else is looking for the same fruit.
Yeah.
And the same space. And then.
So, and in that way, again, it's really important to own your own land. That way our fruit is a constant. We're always going to have that fruit. We're not fighting anyone for supply.
Representing his wife, Jordan Kubek, he's Tyler Knight, Lightning Rock Winery in Summerlin. What are you pouring today? Because you have a very busy table.
Sure, yeah. So we're pouring our sparkling wine 2017 Blanc de Noir. We're pouring from 2017 as well our Viognier from Alicia Vineyard, 2018 Canyonview Vineyard Chardonnay. So we bought Canyonview Vineyard in 2018. It was our first vintage with that fruit. That's a beautiful vineyard. We're also pouring our rosé from 2017. It's a pretty fun one, a bit of a Tavel style, darker. And our 2017 Pinot Noir.
Well, I love the Pinot Noir. That's just in my mouth. But the rosé, I love the fact that, first of all, you make no apologies. It is much darker than what we see on shelves these days. And you use the word Tavel. That's all they make is rosé and Tavel. It goes darker, darker, darker. Tell me about the conversation about the color that you wanted to come away with. Or was it taste first, color second?
It was taste first. So we, in 2016, me and my wife rented a van and we drove around Europe for a few weeks. It was kind of this really organic, like we didn't really have appointments with anyone. So a friend of a friend of a friend made an appointment for us at Langlore in Tavel. And they were kind enough to keep us around for a couple of days. We helped them out a little bit in the vineyard, and they showed us around the winery and stuff, and we fell in love with the style of rosé. We wanted to make something a little different, a little more fun. To me, it's more versatile. So something like that, you can actually pair very easily with food, but it's also pretty easy to just drink a bottle on the patio.
We're Top Drop Victoria, and we're talking to Tyler Knight, who is the co-founder and partner of Jordan Kubek at Lightning Rock Winery in Summerlin. Tyler, I have a question about, you and I both know, this whole room knows, that when you see wineries that we all grew up with being swallowed up, we know the Okanagan is changing. What happens to the smaller wineries? How do they exist? How do they survive?
I think that, again, going back to community, We have not just in the wine grower and wine making community. I think we have a really good wine consuming community as well. People know who the small guys are. People love, not only from a quality perspective. I think the more time that you spend in the vineyard and the cellar,
yeah,
doing all this kind of stuff yourself, and the smaller the production. To be honest, like the size of a batch makes a huge difference in the quality of the wine. We have a good enough, a strong enough community around supporting, small local businesses, especially in the Okanagan, that I'm not too worried about it.
And the last thing is, how do you like the invite to Top Drop?
Oh, man, we were so honored. There's a long line of people who've been at this festival and who are at this festival today. To be a new winery and to get this invite really means a lot to us. It's really exciting, actually, to be shoulder to shoulder with some Okanagan legends.
Congratulations on your wines.
Cheers, thanks
so
much.
And your 8 years. Please say hello to Jordan for me. Thank you.
I will. Thank you very much.
Tyler Knight, the co-owner, co-founder of Lightning Rock Winery in Summerlin.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Top Drop, this is year one in Victoria, and we're talking with the co-founder of Stags Hollow, Larry Girolis. How many Top Drops have you attended or been at?
This is our second one.
And what does it mean to get that invite? Because you realize that they have a lot of choices, and they're looking for very special people.
It was actually, I considered it an honor. And the reason we were invited the first time was because we had some unique varietals like Dolcetto and Terroir to go to show. So that was something that the guys that run at Curtis really were attracted to and wanted us involved.
And tell us about your winemaker.
She actually is somebody that started with us back in 2012 when she was going to university and she needed a summer job, and she was in her wine shop 2012, a Penticton girl, Kira Lefranc.
I interviewed Kira here in Victoria, actually, a couple of weeks ago.
That's right.
We're at Top Drop Victoria, and we're talking with the co-founder of Stags Hollow, Larry Girolis. What are you pouring today, and which ones are hers now?
It's the 2018 Albarino, yeah. And to me, that's one of probably the best ones we've ever done. And the 2017 won Platinum Awards at Wine Align, so I think this one's a keeper, too, and a really, really good version of Albarino.
How many cases of that Albarino?
We're doing about 450-ish now. And Albarino is an interesting grape to grow. It's a challenging grape to grow.
If you like what, you should have a look at Albarino.
To me, if you really enjoy Sauvignon Blanc, and you enjoy Viognier, and you enjoy Riesling,
okay,
you combine the three.
Okay. Hands down. Very good. What else are you pouring today?
We're pouring our Shuttleworth Pinot Noir. So there are at least five different clones in that we planted in 2012 at that vineyard. And so we've got the Pommard clone 114, 115, 667, 777, and 828 going into that blend.
Do you make them individually and then blend?
Yes. We really like to see what each clone brings to the table. And then sometimes it's really good and we move it into our Renaissance series of Pinot Noir.
We're at Top Drop Victoria, the first. A couple of nights ago, it was Top Drop 6 in Vancouver, and of course, Calgary's included in that as well. It's now a mini tour, and we're talking with the co-founder of Stags Hollow, Larry Girolis. What else is on the table today?
We have our Dolcetto, of course, our Albarino, our Tragically Fidèle. When we bought our vineyard in 1992, it was in the vineyard. You know, we almost pulled it out at one point. That's why it's tagged Tragically Fidèle, because it's probably one of the best-selling wines we have in the wine shop when people taste it. It just has this incredible bouquet and depth to vines that are now over 30 years old.
Is there anything else we've forgotten on the red side?
Of course I have. Now I can't remember what else is there.
You want to take a look?
Yeah. Well, it's a Renaissance Merlot. It also is a little bit of a field blend. It has a little bit of Cabernet Sauvignon that was misplanted in the first four rows of the Merlot block. And we ripen those first four rows to make sure the Cab Sav is right, and then we pick that together, and that's our main portion of, or used to be our main portion of the Renaissance Merlot. It's now morphed mostly going towards the Meritage.
We're at Top Drop Victoria, and we're talking with the co-founder of Stags Hollow, Larry Girolis. Any surprises either on the table or under them?
The Terroir de Gaulle. Of course, that's another unique Italian grape that we do.
Aren't you proud of the fact that Stags Hollow is here pouring with these peers from around the world that you're recognized for your work, the work that goes in?
It almost feels like being accepted to a special club. And again, it's an honor to be here again amongst such unique and interesting wineries from around the world with great product. Yeah, so
thank you, Larry.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Larry Girolis, the co-founder of Stags Hollow in the Okanagan.
The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Make your plans for August 1st and 2nd as the first annual 97 South Song Sessions take place. The shows will take place at Bench 1775 Winery and Penticton Lakeside Resort and Conference Center. August 1st and 2nd, some of the very best singer-songwriters will gather at Bench 1775. Details at bench1775.com. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Canada's number one winery, Road 13. It's time to book your dinner with Backyard Farms and Road 13. Amazing artisan wines with four-course meals prepared by Chef Chris Van Hooydonk of Backyard Farms. July 27, August 17, September 28, and October the 5th. All the details at road13vineyards.com.
Top Drop Victoria Year One, courtesy of Vessel, the wonderful wine store in downtown Victoria. Here's one of the things that caught my eye right away. Well, I knew about A Sunday in August. I knew about the brand, okay, the branding and the title, but I had never met Michael Schindler until this very moment, and he's standing in front of me, having had lunch and coffee.
Yes, I just had a lunch and coffee, and it came over on the 9 a.m. ferry, so a little bit foggy still.
How was Top Drop Vancouver?
It was fantastic, yeah. Really, really good crowd. A lot of the kind of key people you want to meet from the industry portion, and then a really open-minded, fun kind of consumer crowd. So really fun, yeah.
And what did you decide to pour?
I brought a Pinot Gris with some skin contact on it, and Cab Merlot, 75 Merlot, 25 Cabernet Sauvignon from a single vineyard in Carmias.
Michael, the name implies A Sunday in August. A different approach. It's just a name, just the branding alone. And I know that you thought long and hard about what to call yeah, the label. So what does the name say to us besides a great phrase?
I think what we're trying to produce here, we're making natural wines, wines that are a bit more kind of expressive of the area. We're not adding a bunch of things to the wine. So we're trying to really just express what the grapes are doing. The branding behind it is really just trying to bring a sense of joy and a sense of kind of easiness with the wine. So they're not supposed to be pretentious. We're not making big Burgundies or Bordeaux or anything like that. We're trying to just take a farm product and express to you that you can drink this with your friends, with your family, and have a nice time. Drink it with food and just keep the pretension and keep down and the joy up.
He is Michael Schindler, and he is pouring A Sunday in August. You want to know about this wine. My friends at Scout Magazine got a quote from you. We wanted the brand to represent a feeling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. One of my friends said originally when we were kind of talking about it, she said, you're trying to bottle a feeling. And I said, yeah, of course. Okay. So we want the imagery to match how the wines taste and how they make you feel.
Diving, rowing, one of my favorites because mm-hmm. I have a rowboat, and my fave, field blend. Did mm-hmm. I just imagine that you put the word field blend in the middle of the label?
Yeah, we had a field blend from our 2016 vintage that was a blend of Gewurztraminer and Riesling from the same vineyard. And I think part of it is, you know, I love the idea of a field and being out in nature in the summer. So we just kind of wanted to give it that sense that these grapes are obviously a product that come from a field and to kind of bring that sense of lightness to the,
but
to
I mean,
the product.
It's not like the Portuguese where they'll do 25, 30, 35.
No, it's only two grapes in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you still make it?
No, okay. No, but maybe in the future.
Well, that's what I was mm-hmm. going to ask because I'm kind of doing a special on field blends.
Oh, cool.
What do you think? What would you, if you could,
yeah,
on paper, what would you put in a field to blend?
I would love to do like a red-white co-ferment kind of thing. So kind of like that Rayu style. So that could be kind of cool. There's so many aromatic grapes in the Okanagan and Similkameen, so I think sometimes they lend themselves well to being blended with other grapes. So you get the Gewurztraminers and Rieslings kind of together, and it kind of complements the acid of the Riesling for the kind of low acid of the Gewurz. But to be honest, I'm really open to kind of whatever I can sort of get. So yeah, as far as like grapes go, we kind of assess what we have coming into harvest and what we're able to attain, and then we sort of figure out how we want to make the wines from there.
Are you a negociant still?
Yeah, yeah.
Still?
Yeah.
Because okay. You access from Oliver, Naramata, yeah, Carameas, the Similkameen, yeah, Sperling, and East Kelowna.
Yeah.
Still to this day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to grow your own at some point, do you think?
I would love to, yeah. It's just a bit of a barrier to entry with the land prices. And
he is Michael Schindler, and he is pouring A Sunday in August. It's his passion. You want to know about this wine. Do you really only, I have so many questions. Do you really only make 25 cases of Chard?
I made one barrel of Chard this year.
Did you bring it?
No.
The Pet Nat from Sperling?
Yeah, the Pet Nat is a Pinot Blanc from Sperling. So biodynamically farmed, really fun wine, bright, kind of lots of aromatics. Very difficult to make. So we made about 150 cases. They're all sold out already.
Did you steal the Pinot Noir from Naramata? You can admit it now.
Did I steal it?
I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Who could go into Naramata and get some, you know, 75 cases of Pinot?
This was from a really small, like, kind of garden vineyard. So it had a bunch of different stuff on it. And through a friend who was taking some other stuff, he didn't want the Pinot Noir, so we grabbed that. So
you didn't want the Pinot?
No. So, you know.
How'd it turn out?
Different strokes, different folks. It turned out very light. So it's like a... not a kind of classic style Pinot Noir. It's very light. We put it on a chill, and it's kind of a summer fun patio wine. It's not super serious.
Okay.
I love it. It's one of my favorite ones this
okay.
year. Yeah.
He is Michael Schindler, and he is pouring a Sunday in August. It's his passion. I do know one thing. Mm-hmm. I don't have to look at the table to know that because you made 350 cases of the Cab Merlot,
yeah.
it's got to be on the table.
It's on the table right there, yeah. And it's drinking amazingly right now.
From Caramias.
Yeah, so single vineyard, organic in Caramias. Much lighter style than you're used to in BC. So we picked half the grapes about a month early. So really low sugar, high acid. And that's just to brighten it up and give the wine a real brightness to it. And then we picked the other half later, kind of almost end of October. And that's to kind of give it some roundness and a bit more body.
You have said, Michael, in the past, I really don't know what I'm doing, to be honest.
Yeah, totally.
How are you doing now?
Just constant imposter syndrome. Yeah, yeah. I mean, everything is... such a learning curve, especially with winemaking. It's like you never kind of figure it all out. And I definitely feel like I take one step forward and 50 steps backwards.
Okay.
But you know, everyone's been really kind of generous with knowledge sharing and whatnot. And so we're learning slowly as we go.
So how much is creative? How much is passion? And how much is inventive?
Are they all the same?
It
seems
it could
like
be.
It's, yeah, I think it's all kind of, you mean with regard to making the wine?
Yeah. Is it gut instinct?
I think there's a lot of tasting which is involved. So kind of knowing what you want it to taste like and tasting through things constantly while you're making the wines. You know, we have an idea before we start making the wines of what we want to do. But there's also a ton of stuff that just happens because we're not putting a ton of things in the wine.
Does it make you giggle when you get it right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's a real sense of happiness. I think my favorite kind of part of the process is when the ferments really start. And you can see them bubbling, and they have all this kind of energy and excitement in them, and you can feel the heat from them, and I really enjoy that. Yeah.
He is Michael Schindler, and he is pouring a Sunday in August. How do you feel about being invited to Top Drop?
I'm just over the moon. It's such an honor to be here. The people here are very supportive. Everyone's kind of got this real excitement to them about the event, so yeah, I'm just over the moon. It's a wonderful event. I'm so happy
to
be
here. Can people visit you? Where's the winery?
We don't have a consumer-facing tasting room, so
nothing?
Nothing.
This
no.
is it.
This is it.
This is it right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Or you got to come see us at a restaurant or at one of our friendly stores that carry us.
No tour buses?
No tour buses.
No bands playing in the vineyard?
No bands. No stags or stagettes. Although that would be fun. No. It's just, we just do everything wholesale and export.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so
Congratulations.
Much for having me. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Michael Schindler, the founder of A Sunday in August.
This is Tasting Room Radio. A home for passionate fans of food, wine, and friends.
Top Drop Victoria, year one, courtesy of Vessel, the wonderful wine store in downtown Victoria. And someone has to represent Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands. It's Unsworth. Dan Wright is the winemaker.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
You're in pretty cool company here, Dan.
Yes, it is. Cool room. Good company for sure.
Which wines catch your eye? Somebody maybe you haven't tasted before or just read about?
My friend Jordan Kubik's new company, Lightning Rock. Right. I'm excited to taste that. I haven't tasted it yet, even though I know her. I just met her husband. And there's some Rhone wines on the table over there that looks pretty interesting. I'm not even sure who all is here yet, to be honest.
Wakefield's here.
Wakefield, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Dan Wright, the winemaker at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Let's talk about Unsworth for a second. What did you bring to pour?
We brought our two Charme de Lille Rosé and the White, which are our signature Charmat method sparkling wines. We brought our classic 2018 Rosé, just released, still Rosé, that is, and our 2018 Pinot Gris.
Okay, let's go to the Rosé for a second because it is hugely popular.
Are
you making more, and have you had to change how you make that Rosé?
We've increased a little bit because of demand, but no, I'm basically making it the same way. We do a short skin contact, yep. And because I'm making a little bit more, I can do multiple ferments, which just adds more complexity. So I do three different ferments at three different skin contact times, one overnight, one maybe 6 hours, one maybe 4 hours. Gives me a nice palette to paint with to kind of target our pale salmon pink color.
Are we talking palette, or are we talking color, or are you trying to find a balance between the two?
I was sort of using it as a color palette because it's rosé, but of course it also gives you different flavors for your palette as well. So a little bit more complexity as we're doing. As we make a little bit more, we can do multiple small ferments, and that gives us more interesting.
I've received a couple of bottles of a gorgeous pink.
Thank you.
Tell me about that new release. There's a reserve?
Oh, yeah. So we made this year a single vineyard rosé from a vineyard in Saanich called Sunnydale Vineyards. And it's a beautiful south-facing slope on Mount Newton for those that are familiar with the islands. And it's a granite soils, so really mineral-driven. And we used a Provençal method called stabulation. Now, I can explain that if you want. It's kind of geeky, but...
Well, give me the short geek.
Okay, basically we keep it on juice lees for about 3 weeks, stirring the juice lees every day with dry ice, and that builds complexity and builds texture in the wine without keeping it on skins longer, so you don't get more color extraction. We kept it really bone dry, but with that texture, there's a roundness to the palate. And
light and delicate.
And very light and delicate.
And so
as
you
well.
Needed a special bottle to showcase.
Exactly. And it was a good opportunity to celebrate our 10th anniversary as a company.
What's the official title on the bottle?
2018 10th Anniversary Rosé Sunnydale Vineyard. It has a big, long title. I don't know what the official title is.
You'll know it when you see it, yes.
Yeah.
Do we know what the price point is?
I believe 28 retail.
Wonderful. Happy 10th. He's Dan Wright. He's the winemaker at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. All right, so what else is on the table?
So we have our Pinot Gris, 2018 Pinot Gris. And I guess for those that are listening and want a secret one, we brought our 2017 Pinot Noir just under the table for a little sneaky, cheeky pour.
And the Charme is extremely popular and getting more so.
Our Charme Rosé is now taking off as well. Yeah. A couple of restaurants in Vancouver pouring that by the glass, and it seems to be growing for us. So,
what's yet to be released this summer or fall?
So we're just releasing our 2017 Pinot Noir, and we are going to be bottling and releasing our 2017 Symphony blends. And 2018 Sauvignette in August.
Anything qualify as a field blend in your mind?
We aren't doing well. I'm not co-fermenting, and that to me, I would call like a field blend something that's co-fermented. So, that's not true. I will say that we did a co-ferment. Pinot Noir Gamay, so like a past two grain, if you will, from a vineyard in the Okanagan. So we will be bottling that in August as well.
And what will it be called?
We don't know yet. We're working on the title. We might just call it Pinot Noir Gamay blend if we can't come up with anything more creative than that. But yeah.
How about field blend?
That's a great idea. Yeah, maybe we'll have to steal that. Yeah.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you very much, Terry.
And I'll see you with the, Cowichan Wine Festival August, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
He's Dan Wright. He's the winemaker at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the Wine Online National Wine Awards, number one winery in Canada. Summer hours are here. They're open now until Thanksgiving. The Castle is open daily, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and at road13vineyards.com.